With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Joining us here on 97.3 The Fan, host at Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Sean Pendergast. With us here, Sean, it's great to have you on in San Diego. Thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah, it's good to be on with you guys. We got a little San Diego weather here today, finally, so it feels good. I'm standing outside a Chick-fil-A eating an egg white grill, because if you have grilled chicken and an egg on an English muffin, it's much more nutritious than the fried chicken on a bagel with cheese.
Yes, it is.
I guess so. I guess you can make that argument. So you didn't get the same Dallas weather. The tornadoes and stuff missed you guys.
It did. We got a little rain this morning, but now it's really nice outside, and it's been a brutal, brutal summer here. So we're excited, and we've got baseball in October, so it's all good, man.
So obviously the Astros thrilled to get back, but is this the opponent that they were hoping for? I know it seems like a lot of teams were kind of, let's just avoid the Nationals if we can. That pitching staff and those top-of-the-rotation guys, not fun in any series, whether it's five games or seven.
Yeah, this is not the matchup that I wanted, and for those exact reasons. You know, the Nationals got off to a rough start this year, but since that 19-31 start, they basically played baseball at about the same clip that the Astros have, and April and May don't matter right now. This is a really good baseball team, and it's kind of the opposite challenge that the Astros were facing in the previous series with the Yankees, whereas, you know, with the Yankees, you're just struggling to get through 1-9 in their lineup each time around, and they've got a really deep bullpen, but the starting pitching is a little suspect. This is almost the exact opposite, where the Nationals, it's going to be an amazing series. I heard you guys talking about it before you brought me on. Just that this is like a WrestleMania pitching, you know what I mean? Like, it's the matchups are incredible, with Cole and Scherzer and then Verlander and Strasburg, and even the third guys in with, I mean, when you're talking about the undercard being Greinke and Corbin, and of course, Anibal Sanchez could be a big X factor in the series, because the Astros starting rotation really sort of stops after those three guys. It's a really intriguing series. And for someone who does morning radio, I will welcome the games only lasting like 3 hours and 15 minutes. That'll be really cool.
No, I can relate, Sean. We're talking to Sean Pendergast, sports radio host at Sports Radio 610 in Houston. And, you know, look, I'm a Yankee fan. That series to me was unbelievable. The agony and the ecstasy of baseball was on full display between those two teams. But as a baseball fan first, I'm actually happy that I get to relax and enjoy the series without feeling like I wanted to vomit or punch a hole in the wall or anything like that. But, you know, if you had told me, hey, the Yankees and Astros are going to go to six, Alex Bregman's going to have one RBI, it's going to come in the last game, I say Yankees are going to win that, period. They win, because Alex Bregman is the straw that stirs that drink. But everybody else seemed to kind of step up and get the job done. Yordan Alvarez looked like he'd never played baseball before, ever. I mean, he really did. Like, hey, where did they find this guy? And this kid's a stud. And you know, if you had told me that going in, I'd say there's no way the Astros can win. But they always manage to find a way to get that big hit.
Yeah, it's a fun game to play, right? Where you go, okay, if I gave you this, and this before the series, would you sign up for this right now and just leave everything else to chance? And
yep,
you're absolutely right. You know, Bregman, who may win the MVP for the American League, it's interesting because he only had one RBI. He got on base a little bit, though. Like, just his presence in the middle of the lineup does matter, because
he
walks quite a bit. You know, he had some hard-hit balls. I felt like towards the end of that series, he was making good contact. He was just hitting it right at guys. You know, Bregman is still in the circle of trust. There's no doubt about that.
No doubt.
But you're right. Like, you know, the lineup itself, that was the thing that was scary as an Astros fan, is that the lineup had so many dead spots in it during that series that we just weren't used to seeing during the season. And obviously you're stepping up massively in weight class, playing a seven-game series with the Yankees, then playing a four-game series with, you know, the Angels in July, that kind of thing. But, yeah, Yordan not hitting in that series was a big problem. Really, 7-9 in the order was a problem for the Astros. And that's the scary thing to me, guys, about this series, is that, yeah, the Astros managed to somehow win that series in six games. but this is not a team that's hitting well and really not hitting well situationally right now. Three big three-run homers is what really helped them get over the hump. You know, with Yuli in game six and the two three-run homers in game four, and then obviously Altuve with the two-run homer to cinch it. They were really kind of an all-or-nothing operation there, especially for the last three, four games.
Sean, let me ask you about Astros fans, because I look here in California, Giants fans used to be pretty humble up there in San Francisco. Then they got their three world titles. Now they're just insufferable. I mean, we know about Patriots and Red Sox fans, how they've turned from, nothing franchises into the most arrogant fan bases in America. The Astros just a few years ago were the worst team in baseball. I mean, 100-plus losses every year. Now trying to win a second World Series in 3 years. How are the fans adjusting? Because, honestly, we would love to see something like that happen in San Diego here sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. It's a weird dynamic from this standpoint. When you inject football into the operation here for a second, and the Texans, and Houston is a football town, Texas is a football state. And I would say of all the prevailing emotional trends with Astro fans, the diehard Astro fans, the ones that were there when they were losing 111 games in 2013, when their payroll was literally less than what Alex Rodriguez was making that year. The diehard fans, I don't know that there's necessarily an arrogance that permeates to fans outside of Houston. I think that of anything, there's sort of this maybe like civil strife among Houston fans, where you have Astro fans that are now, you know, like it probably happens in any city, climbing back on the bandwagon, showing up for the playoff games, wearing all their orange gear, you know, touting the Astros. And there's that small, very vocal portion of baseball fans here in Houston who were the ones that were going to the ballpark in 2011 through 2013, kind of saying like, hey, man, we were here all along, that sort of thing. It's not something where, you know, there's fights outside the stadium between these factions or anything. But if there's any sort of intriguing emotional angle with Astro fans, it's sort of the hey, we've been here all along with the ones that are kind of climbing on the bandwagon. The Astros will truly arrive as a national entity when there are Astro fans that have never had anything to do with the city of Houston that are showing up in bars and taverns across the United States. I don't know that we're there quite yet.
So you're telling me that's what we have to look forward to here
Padres
in San Diego.
Padres Twitter civil war.
It's going
coming.
To be.
Yes, coming.
It's going to be. Well, hope. You long for it, right?
It's like going to happen.
You hope that
the
it happens.
The bandwagoners versus the old school that is still fans right now.
It is amazing. And I don't know how long you've been covering the team, Sean, but, you know, just watching, I mean, I'm watching the series over the weekend. Who's the big righty? Josh James?
Josh James.
Yeah, they're like, well, so he was a nobody and threw 87, and then he realized he had sleep apnea, and he woke up and he threw 98. And I'm like, what?
Dude.
It's nuts.
Dude, look, as someone who suffered from sleep apnea until I found a sleep doctor that wanted to sponsor my morning radio show.
It's a good idea.
I can vouch for getting rid of sleep apnea. I don't know what my equivalent is of fastball, you know, 10 miles an hour on my fastball.
Right.
But whatever it is, I experienced it. So now it's the other stuff, the spin rate and all
yes.
the funky stuff.
It's maddening.
You run these. Yeah, you run these. It's almost like a car wash, right? Like you bring these pitchers in and there are these downtrodden, mediocre, middle-of-the-road pitchers, and you run them through the Jeff Luno analytics car wash, and they come out the other side Ryan Presley.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like it's
Charlie Morton, Ryan Presley. All like the list goes on and on. Will Harris. I mean, Will Harris.
Yeah,
looks like a grown up baby. He looks like a grown up baby. And the guy, he does. He had to grow facial hair, so we didn't think he was 13 years old.
He looks
amazing.
He looks like a. God, I just thought of this now that you said that. Like his mustache and beard are terrible.
Terrible.
Right? Like it's the worst facial hair ever. He looks like a vaudeville villain if you colorize the movie.
Yes! 100%. There was a baby mask I saw in a Halloween store. I'm like, you put an Astros hat on this, it looks like Will Harris.
Yes!
But they know that what they've been able to do, I mean, look, I think even here in San Diego, it's weird, though, because the Padres have never gone full tank, right? They signed Eric Hosmer, and they signed Manny Machado, and it's, you know, the Astros really, really, really committed to the tank for those years, and
they did.
It's worked out. I mean, we're like some hybrid we have some good players, but we still lose, you know, a ton of games here. The Astros are kind of that model. And when Padre fans say, hey, we want to be the Astros, well, I don't know that we did it the right way. I don't know that anybody could have fully committed to it like they did in Houston.
Well, here's the thing, too, though. You got to get it right. Like, you know, there's like eight teams that are trying to do this right now, and baseball is a zero-sum game. You know what I mean? It's not like the corner I'm standing on right now in front of this Chick-fil-A where there's a fast food restaurant on each of the other four corners and you could plunk four more down another block from here and everybody's going to make their numbers. Baseball's a zero-sum game. Like, you can't have eight teams tanking and all of a sudden eight of them are whooping ass and making deep runs into the playoffs.
Right.
So the Astros tear it down to the studs, but they got the picks right. And even when they got stuff wrong, they got it right. And Brady Aiken was the first overall pick. I think he's from out that way, actually, in Southern California. Yeah, and Brady Aiken was the number one overall pick. Well, the Astros started getting jerky with him over an elbow ligament, and they just decided to lowball him and not sign him. So in baseball, you get your pick back the next year, and they used it to get Alex Bregman. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah. So even and I will say this, too, that it's one thing. You tear it down, and you're drafting really high. Jeff Luhnow is a master at making deals, and he has used those prospects. The three guys that we were talking about at the beginning of this conversation, guys, Cole, Verlander, and Greinke, they all were trades for prospects, and two of them were at the 11th hour and 59th minute when Verlander and Greinke came here. So it's not just a matter of, well, we got these high picks, and we're going to draft a bunch of young players, and they're all going to turn into something. That's part of it, but Luhnow is an ultimate deal maker. Their top three guys, all guys that he was able to get for prospects from teams that were, you know, basically downtrodden and salary dumping.
Well, and the other thing that the Padres haven't been able to do like the Astros have been, and you alluded to it, is knowing when to say when. I mean, we've got guys on this roster that were supposed to be the next big thing 4 years ago, and we're still running them out there right now, and it's just not happening. The Astros would have cut bait with these guys 2 years ago, and that's got to be hard. And I know that guy probably takes a lot of grief for the Brady Aiken miss, for letting Charlie Morton walk. I don't care. They find a way to get better, and that's, you know, as a Yankee fan that, you know, quote unquote, grew up watching my team, you know, buy championships, as it were, to watch what teams like the Astros have been able to do, it's pretty remarkable. It's not just money; it's being able to get rid of some of that capital that you have when you need to go get a Garrett Cole. I mean, it was a steal. It's a steal. They stole from those guys.
Yeah. Well, that Garrett Cole will be the ultimate test, right? Like, you know, like, you wonder. Yeah, I mean, the Astros aren't the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Red Sox when it comes to ultimately spending. At least we don't think they are. I mean, Jim Crane bought the team 6-7 years ago, and he's passed every test here along the way in terms of signing guys. Like, Altuve has a $30 million extension. They bought out Alex Bregman's arbitration years, so he's on a $100 million deal. Verlander, they extended for $33 million a year. They made the trades for Verlander and Cole and Greinke. This Garrett Cole thing is going to be where we really find out what critical mass is for Jim Crane as the owner, because especially if Cole goes into the World Series and has two great starts against the Nationals, gets an MVP of the World Series kind of thing. I mean, the Garrett Cole market's going to go nuts.
You can't let him walk. You just can't let him walk.
I would agree with you, and I would hope that that's the case. And that's why I'm saying this may be where we find out what the breaking point is for Jim Crane, because there are other things that are going to need to get taken care of along the way. That either you just sacrifice those things and you put in some young guys and you bring Cole back, or maybe the price of poker gets too high. In the meantime, I'm going to enjoy these next 7 days.
And you're going to enjoy that chicken and an egg white in a second. Trust me, it's better cold, because I have one more question, just quickly. We talked to Astros. You mentioned Football Town. NBA starts this week. What's the James Harden-Russell Westbrook show going to look like for the Rockets?
That's a big question. You know, like, it's intriguing, I'll put it that way. I think I was probably in the minority among fans here where I said I didn't want them to trade for Westbrook. I was okay with running it back with Chris Paul for another year, just especially because of the injuries to Golden State. I think it just opens up so many things. And I am legitimately intrigued but concerned about how the whole dynamic is going to fit with James and with Russ. Now, that said, now that the trade is done, I'm really excited to see how it works. And it's fun sort of, you know, being at the epicenter of a lot of the chatter in the NBA. Not the Daryl Morey-related epicenter. That's a bad epicenter to be at right now. We're in the middle of that here, too. But as far as, like, the on-the-court stuff with Harden and Westbrook, I think, you know, the big thing here is Mike D'Antoni, guys. I think, you know, D'Antoni is a great X's and O's guy. I think he probably ends up finding a way to make it work in some fashion. And the fact that we're not dealing with a super team anymore in Golden State means that the Rockets are going to be one of six or seven teams that are in the mix for this thing. So let's go play ball.
Hey, Sean, that was a lot of fun. Really appreciate
great,
it. Thank you so much. That was fun.
Anytime, guys.
Sean
Pendergast.
Yeah. It's a Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Now he gets to enjoy his cold egg white and chicken sandwich.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.